You're listening to the podcast of Living Grace Church in Hinckley, Minnesota. Join us in this Sunday service as we look to the Scriptures, seeking to grow in the gospel of grace alone. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Genesis chapter 2 is where we're going to find ourselves today. We're going to cover the first three verses. But before we go there, I just want to, by point of introduction, want to talk about where we've been. So this is our third sermon today in this series, Let There Be Grace. And we've been focusing on seeing the gospel from the beginning. That's the main goal of this entire series, is to focus upon the gospel from the beginning. And so we spent 2 weeks looking at chapter 1. Chapter 1, and as we examined the text, what we saw there was that we saw God was the infinite and all-powerful creator of everything. And that this God that we saw, he gives life and he gives blessings to his creation. He's a God who gives. He's a God who gives grace. And we saw that he's a God who lives and he loves in community. That's who he exists in, a community, and he loves community. We saw the triune God, the Trinity, from the beginning. And we saw the fact that because he created, it's the very nature that he is the creator of all things. He has authority over all things. He has the ability to tell us, he has the right to tell us how to live. That's what we saw in chapter 1. And so now as we turn our attention to chapter 2, what we're going to see is that it opens with the final day of creation. The seventh day, not a day of work, but a day of rest. That's what we're going to see in this text. But I want to give a little background here, that before we actually look at this text, my personal commentary would be that these three verses don't belong in chapter 2. They actually belong in chapter 1. And I can say that because chapter divisions or the notes on the headings of the chapters and the numbers on the chapters are not inspired. They're added by men for a purpose to help us study. And I think that as they make more sense in chapter 1 than they do at chapter 2. Chapter 2, actually, I personally think would make more sense starting at verse 4, but that's just commentary. But I just want to give you a little background on how we got to this point and why we see little numbers in chapter headings. It's not that important, but it allows you to see how the chapters were divided. So the original manuscripts, when Moses wrote these out, they were just paragraphs. He was writing them out under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and they were given to the priests in rolls and scrolls. And they were part of five books. The whole Pentateuch was put together. And it's interesting to note, though, that they divided these into 157 separate scrolls. I'm sorry, 154 separate scrolls. And the reason would be is they took those 154 and they would read from one each Sunday. And so it would take them 3 years to get through the entire Pentateuch. So that's just a little note, that they had no indication marks. They had no chapter verses or chapter headings. It was just these scrolls that they would read from. And then centuries later, actually at the advent of the printing press in the 13th century, is when we began to start seeing the Bibles bound together, Old Testament and New Testament put together. And up to that point, there were no annotations. There was no chapter headings or numbers. But now people have Bibles, and they began to open them together, and they began to reference them. So it made sense for people to put numbers and chapter headings on these divisions. And so now when we read this, I want you to keep in mind that I think this makes sense to move this kind of in one idea thought. It's a creation story. He has just created. We saw that he created everything, and at the pinnacle of creation, at the height of creation, on the sixth day, he creates man. His viceroys, his superintendents over creation, those who were created to bear his image, and then he gives man authority over all things. He blesses man, tells him to be fruitful and multiply, and then he gives him authority over all the creation. He tells man to steward creation, to fill it, and to have dominion, and have rule, and care over creation. And then what God does at the very end of chapter 1, at the very end of that sixth day, he looks over everything, and he doesn't just simply say that it's good. For the first time in all creation, he sees everything and he says, it's very good. It's very good. And so now, chapter 2, we got to think, this is where it opens. This is why I think it should be with chapter 1. It opens, and God, what we see is a God who's now sitting back. It's a God who has ceased his work. And it's a God who's now celebrating everything that he did. It's a, I can speak as an artist because it's what an artist would do at the end of a finished work. It's before you, as you put your signature on it, you're saying, ah, it's done. It's this celebratory act that he's doing. That there's he's looking at it and he's saying, there's nothing else I need to add. Everything is as I intend it to be. It's perfect. And so he's celebrating it. And what he's doing here is he's enjoying it. He's enjoying all of his creation. And so that's the context I want us to understand that these verses, these three verses we're going to read is put into. So I'm going to read the word of the Lord. Hear now the word of the Lord. Genesis chapter 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work as he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. That's the word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that has been preserved for us and held for your people, that we may learn of your nature, learn of your blessings for us, that we may receive the good news from the beginning, that what you would have for us is to enter into joy, is to enter into rest. God, I pray that we receive it with open hands of faith this morning, hearts ready to receive, minds ready to perceive. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So there's three questions I want to start out with by way of outline is as we examine this text today. And these three are this. I want to look at what is the Sabbath. I want to look at what is the purpose of the Sabbath. And the final thing is, do we observe it or do we enter it? So what is the Sabbath? We're going to define it. And I want to see what the purpose of it is. And the third thing is I want to ask is, do we simply observe the Sabbath or do we enter into the Sabbath? So the first thing I want to look at is, what is the Sabbath? So when we read our text, this is what we read. Verse 2, and on the seventh day God finished his work and all that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. And God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. So three times there we see what the Sabbath is defined as. Is what? It's the seventh day. That's clearly what it is. The Sabbath is the seventh day. And so this can be a point of contention. Just like all of chapter 1 can be a point of contention within the body. This idea of the seventh day is it can be a division point. And churches sometimes will have strife within it because of how one person is observing the seventh day or not. So, the seventh day. What is the seventh day? Anyone have any idea what the seventh day is biblically?
Is it Saturday or is it Sunday?
That's a good question. Is it Saturday or is it Sunday? Well, what do we know? The seventh. What's the first day of the week?
Sunday.
So then what is the seventh day of the week?
Saturday.
So Saturday is the seventh day. That's the Sabbath. So my question is, are we observing the wrong day? Are we here on the wrong day? Should we have been here yesterday?
Yes,
maybe we should be here tomorrow.
That might come up later in the sermon. So should we switch? To be obedient, should we switch? I think the Jewish friends of us, of ours, if we have any, and or Seventh-day Adventist friends would say, yes, we should switch. We are being disobedient by not gathering on Saturday rather than Sunday. To them, it's Saturday. It's always been Saturday. You just simply don't change days at whim. God said the seventh day, so Sunday for them is wrong. Saturday is the right day. Or more precisely, if I'm going to define it precisely, it's not just simply Saturday. It's sundown Friday till sundown Saturday. That's the Sabbath. So when we look at our text, that's exactly what the Bible is saying. That Saturday is the Sabbath, the seventh day. Sunday's not the seventh day. Sunday's the first day. So are we wrong? Do we get this wrong? Do we need to make a change?
Depends what kind of calendar you use back then.
Well, that's an important thought, but it actually does depend upon something. It depends on how we answer this very next question, which is, what's the purpose of it? If we define the proper day in which we're going to set apart, what's the purpose of that day? We need to figure that day out. What's the purpose? So the second question is, what's the purpose? So the very first two words that stand out most in this text, that's unique in this text, is the word finished and the word done. Look at the text. Thus the heavens and earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all that he had done. And so God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because he rested from all the work that he had done on creation. Do you see that? He's pointing to something significant there. He's pointing to his completed work. He's pointing to on the Sabbath as a declaration that it is finished. Everything that he intended to do is finished. That's his declaration. He's enjoying. He ceases to work. There's nothing left to do. And the second word that stood out to me is the word rest. Rest. And it's repeated over and over in the text. Rest. So clearly God rested. But why would he rest? Why would God need to rest? Is he tired? God didn't create the Sabbath rest because working the universe and doing creation wore him out. He didn't need to take a breather. He didn't need to replenish his strength. God is omnipotent, means unlimited power. He has all power. It's limitless power. Think about how he created everything out of nothing. What was the vehicle he used to create? Did he break a sweat? He spoke, and it was everything out of nothing. He spoke the sun, the stars, the universe, everything. He spoke it. And if he speaks differently than we do, even my standing up here and speaking demands a source of energy from me. It's a depletion of a form of energy. If I didn't eat, I ultimately would not be able to speak. God, it didn't cost him anything to speak. He's limitless power. This is what the Bible says. Isaiah 40, 28 says this. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Meaning, we can't even understand that concept that he doesn't grow tired. God cannot grow tired. He has limitless power. He is all-powerful, the scriptures describe him. So when we think and we try to understand the purpose of the Sabbath and why God created it, wasn't so that he could have a breather. It wasn't that he could get a lemonade so that he could relax from all that effort. The purpose of the Sabbath was, or more precisely, the question is, what is the purpose of the Sabbath? Why was the Sabbath created? Jesus gives us the definition. He tells us the purpose of the Sabbath in what Jeff read for us this morning. In Mark chapter 2, 23 through 28, he clearly defines the purpose of the Sabbath. This is what is written in Mark's gospel. On the Sabbath, he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, the disciples began to pluck heads of grain, and the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? And he and those were with him, how they entered in the house of God in the time of Abiathar, the high priest, and he ate the bread of the presence, which was not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them," this is what Jesus said, "the Sabbath was not made the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Let me repeat that. "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." So what was the purpose of the Sabbath? Why did God create the Sabbath? What was the meaning and purpose of the Sabbath? Was rest for us, not for him. The reason God created the Sabbath was for rest. That we may find rest. That's why he blessed it. That's why he set it apart. Was for rest. And I think a lot of us have misunderstood the whole purpose of the Sabbath was a rest. They did in the time of Jesus. This is why the Pharisees were questioning him. They didn't know they totally forgot the reason for the Sabbath. Jesus reminds him, he said the purpose of the Sabbath was to serve us, to bless us, to give us rest. But listen, for many, keeping the Sabbath was not rest. Even today, keeping the Sabbath for many is work. It's work to keep the Sabbath. For them, they needed to examine what everyone was doing. They needed to make sure everyone is keeping their part, not doing the things they were not supposed to do. They had all these things, this list of things they had to not do. It was work to keep that list. This is the list. Let me give you a list. This is actually looked at the different ceremonial things that they were restricted from doing from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. This is what they could not. You could not sow. Not sow like this way, but sow seed. You couldn't plant. You cannot plow. You cannot reap. You cannot bind sheaves. You cannot thresh seeds. You cannot winnow. You cannot select. You cannot grind. You cannot sift. You cannot knead. You cannot bake. You cannot shear. You cannot wash the wool. You cannot beat the wool. You cannot dye the wool. You cannot spin the wool. You cannot weave. You cannot make two loops. You cannot weave two threads. You cannot separate two threads. You cannot tie. You cannot untie, including your shoes. You cannot sew stitches. You cannot tear. You cannot trap. You cannot slaughter. You cannot fillet meat or fish. You cannot tie on hides. You cannot scrap hide. You cannot mark hides. You cannot cut hides or to shape. You cannot write two or more letters. You could write one letter, but you can't write two or more letters. You cannot erase two or more letters. You cannot build. You cannot demolish. You cannot extinguish a fire. You cannot kindle a fire. You cannot put the finishing touch on an object. You cannot transport an object between a private domain or a public domain or for a distance of 4 cubits within the public domain. Or as Jeff said, another one was, you cannot even leave your house.
Unless you tie the string
the
day before.
Those are the things you cannot do on the Sabbath. It's a long list of things you cannot do. So out of that list, how many of those things were you planning on doing today? Were you going to dye some wool today? Were you... This was rules relative to their culture and their time. These were things that they needed to do in order to live. These were the things that they needed to do to exist. For us, maybe we need to build a fire. What if our fire went out today? That's their world. It's a long list. Things that they need to do every day, day in and day out, to live. If they failed to do it, they would cease to live. That's true. They had to slaughter to eat. They had to make clothes to live. They had to build a fire to live. So God, in creating and blessing and setting apart one day from the other, he's saying to them, listen, even if you worked all 7 days, you can't live apart from me. You can wear yourself out, but you'll never live apart from me. So he's saying, can you just for one day, just rest in me? Know that I'm always going to provide for you. I always will. In abundance over what you would work on those 7 days. But just set one day apart. 24 hours. Stop thinking about what you've done. Stop thinking about what you need to do. Can you just stop? Can you just stop and be? Just be. Exist. So if the Sabbath is for us, and the Sabbath is created for us for a purpose, the Sabbath was there to serve, to bless, to give us rest. The question I have for you is, will you rest? Will you just simply rest? And I know how hard this is. For me, this is a tough one because I can't do it. I really struggle with this. And it's not just now because of the responsibilities I have now, but this has been hard for me for a long time. When I was self-employed, Michelle would ask me on a Saturday or a Sunday, could I just come in and take a nap? Can I just relax? And I'd always have excuses like, no, I can't. I've got to do this or I've got to do that. And napping is anxiety for me sometimes because I'm thinking about what I need to do. This is a whole day. I'm not just talking about a two-hour nap on a Sunday. This is a day consecrated. This is a day set apart, different from all the others. A whole day to rest, to celebrate, to think about God and His graces and blessings upon you. 24-hour period of rest to just enjoy God and His work. Now, this is not a vacation. This is different from a vacation because if you ever go on a vacation and come back more tired? Usually that's the case of the vacations. All the planning, you get to the vacation, you're there, kind of unwinding, and then you're there for maybe a day, and then you're packing up to go again. You're actually come back more tired from vacation. This is different from vacation. This is a day set apart, something totally different. A day maybe just to go for a walk, not to exercise, not to spend calories, but a day set aside, you go for a walk just because it's beautiful. Is there a day where you can just rest? Do you have a day where you can just rest? A day was created for that purpose. A day maybe just where you gather friends around you. It's for no other purpose. It's different from any other day of the week. All the other 6 days that you have life, this is the day where you maybe laugh with some friends, you celebrate together, you talk about God, His grace. You don't do laundry that day. As troubling as it is, sometimes you don't do dishes. You just let them sit. Is there a day, one day out of the week, where you just sit and you have good conversations with friends? Enjoy deep, honest conversations. Not a day where you're absorbed into yourself and your activities, where you get grumbly because people are interrupting your activities. No, a day where you're celebrating together. A day quite the opposite of focusing on yourself, but you're focusing on God and His graces to you. A day maybe without emails, maybe without cell phones, and no electronics, maybe no screen time. Not as a law, but maybe a day that you can just focus on others around you. Focus on God, how He's blessed you. God and His creation. Enjoy what He has created. That's the purpose of the Sabbath, to give you rest. So maybe if your job is all day long to sit and think or sit and do, maybe on your Sabbath is a day more active where maybe you're out playing with the kids or you go to the park. Or if your day is active, maybe you're a very active person, you're out doing construction work, maybe you're thinking, maybe your Sabbath day is a day thinking and resting and maybe reading or listening to music. You have a day where you just are no longer doing, but you just are. You have a day of rest. So, listen, if we understand what God is actually doing on the Sabbath, what He's actually saying by creating and blessing the Sabbath and made it for us, to be a blessing to us. God's not saying this. He's not saying, when you get a chance, you ought to get some rest. That's not what He's saying. God is saying in this blessing and creating the Sabbath, if you look at the Exodus 20, if you look at Deuteronomy, God's saying, you need this to live. Why? It's biblically, if you look at the accounts biblically, there's a Levitical account where it's a serious offense to break the Sabbath. If you're God's people and you break the Sabbath, biblically, it was punishable by death. Because God's saying, by refusing to rest, means you're trying to live outside of Him. You're trying to provide for yourself. You're trying to earn your way in. So that what He's saying is this is objective truth. This is not some subjective thing. This is objective truth. This is it. If you will not rest, you will die. That's a reality. If you will not rest, you will die. And God says, What I'm offering to you is blessings. I'm offering to you life, fullness, joy. More free than you can imagine. If you would just come to me and rest. If you enter into my rest. So the reason for the Sabbath, the purpose of the Sabbath, the whole reason why the Sabbath was created was for our rest. For our physical rest, for our mental and psychological rest. But God, in his perfect love, is not interested in stopping there. He doesn't want just our physical and our mental or psychological rest. There's so much more he wants for us. Because the Sabbath points to something far greater. More than our physical or psychological rest, the Sabbath foretells a spiritual rest. It's the good news from the beginning. It's the gospel from the very beginning. It is finished. It is done. God has done the work. A true and eternal rest is there for our souls. So the celebration of the Sabbath is a shadow of the gospel. It really is, from the very beginning. This is what Paul is making in Colossians chapter 2. This is the point he said. Remember when we studied Colossians chapter 2, verse 16? Paul says, "Therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food or drink." I'm sorry, food and drink. "Or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ." So what he means there is the physical rest and the mental rest that the Sabbath in the Old Testament provided to God's people is just a shadow. But its fulfillment is found in the spiritual rest provided by Jesus. So this helps us go back now and answer question number one. What is the Sabbath? Because in Christ, because of Christ, everything changed. Everything was redefined because of Christ. Even the Sabbath, because of Christ. This is what I mean. So Jesus comes after thousands of years of God's people observing the Sabbath on Saturday. God's people always observed the Sabbath on a Saturday. And Jesus observed the Sabbath on Saturday. He observed the law perfectly. Sabbath is the law. He doesn't obey the religious rules that people added to it. And he gets into some conflict with those who added these extra rules. Like when they rebuked him for when he was trying to heal someone on the Sabbath. Or when he did heal someone on the Sabbath. He didn't try, he did. But Jesus obeys the Sabbath and then he dies and he rises. And Jesus died in our place for our sins and he rises as our Savior. And he rose on what day of the week? Easter Sunday. Jesus rose on Easter Sunday. And all Gospels make this clear. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the Gospels make it clear, each one saying that on the first day of the week, Sunday, was Resurrection Sunday. John, in him writing the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 10, he says, on Sunday, the Lord's Day. So John calls the Lord's Day Sunday. And so it is the day the Lord Christ and the early church started gathering and meeting, not on Saturdays anymore, but they started meeting on Sundays. This is what we see in Acts chapter 20, verse 7. It says, on the first day of the week, they were gathered. What day is that? Sunday. The church started gathering on Sunday. And Justin Martyr, I read this last night, who lived about 50 years after the time of writing of Revelation, says that on the day called Sunday by the Greeks, the Christians met together in one place, and they read the scriptures and prayed together and administered the ordinances of the supper. And this, he adds, was the first day which God created the world, which I told Michelle last night I thought was really unique. That the first day, if God rested on the seventh day, that means he created on the first day, Sunday. He created new life. He created us. He remade us on Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. So Jesus Christ rose from the dead on Sunday. So think about what this means. That in the Jewish calendar, Sunday for the Jews then, if Saturday was the day off, Sunday for them was the day back to work. And that would mean that for believers, it would have been a great sacrifice. Because in their culture, if you were a Jewish believer, everyone else was taking Saturdays off. And Jews, like the apostles then, they'd have a struggle because now it's Monday, essentially. And they're taking that work day off to gather together for the purpose to celebrate the Lord, focus on His graces. So this is a struggle. So my main point is this, that when Jesus came, everything changed. Nothing was as it was. For believers, those who live and trust in the person and the work of Jesus, the old covenant is now fulfilled. The new covenant has come. Everything that was anticipatory and preparatory for the coming of Jesus is now satisfied in the resurrection of Jesus. So for first century believers, the whole world changed. Everything is new. All things are made new, and all things are in the process of becoming new through the resurrection of Jesus. And they needed a new day to represent a new reality. Things aren't the way they used to be. So for Sabbath, a day to rest shifts from Saturday to Sunday. Sunday's the Lord's Day. It's the day, first day of the week, because we don't just concern ourselves with when we worship, we concern ourselves now with who we worship. And in our text, and Jesus clearly said that He is the Lord of the Sabbath. So the last question then is, do we simply observe the Sabbath, or do we enter into the Sabbath? Do we observe the Sabbath, or do we enter into the Sabbath? What I mean is, are we as believers, are we called to live one day uniquely? Are we called to live every day unique from the world? Is the church called to focus on the work of Christ and meditate upon Him and His work and His place in our life one day a week or every day of the week? And the life of the new believer, is one day more holy than others? These are important biblical questions. The writer of Hebrews helps us answer that question in Hebrews chapter 4. It's the definitive passage on Jesus as our Sabbath rest. The writer of the Hebrews exhorts his readers to abandon a works-based righteousness and enter into Sabbath rest found only in Christ. Jesus is the door by which we enter into rest. So after the three chapters, if you open up Hebrews, you would see the first three chapters is the writer explaining and telling that Jesus is superior to angels, that Jesus is, He's more than He's our apostle, He's our high priest, and then the writer pleads with them to don't harden their hearts against Jesus, as their fathers had hardened their hearts against Jehovah in the wilderness because of their unbelief. Remember, God denied them from entering into His Sabbath rest, because they refused to accept His word. So in the same way, the writer of the Hebrews begs them, and he's begging us, not to make the same mistake by rejecting God's Sabbath rest in Christ Jesus. This is what he says in Hebrews chapter 4. I'm going to read 8 through 10. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for God's people. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter the rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. So what he's saying there is that according to the Bible, there is no Sabbath rest besides Jesus. So we can practice a Saturday off or a Sunday off, rest our minds physically and rest our bodies physically, either on Saturday or Sunday. It doesn't really matter. Unless you're resting in the work of Jesus on your behalf, sufficient for all the wrath of God, you are not having a Sabbath rest. He alone satisfies the requirements of the law. He alone provides the sacrifice that atones for sin. He is God's plan for us to cease from our labor, from our own works. That's the glorious good news of the gospel. That's the purpose of the Sabbath. That's the foretelling, the shadow of God. Why God created, blessed the Sabbath, and set it apart and gave it to us, was to tell us of Christ and his eternal Sabbath rest that's available to us. So that means every day for the believer, every day is a celebration of the fact that we don't have to do any spiritual or physical work to gain acceptance with God. We don't have to, because Jesus did for us. It also means that we're accepted by him through faith in the work of Jesus. That's true Sabbath rest. So if you're a child of God, if you're born again, if you're trusting and you're believing in Jesus' work in your place, his acceptance with God rather than your own works and your own efforts, then you're experiencing the true Sabbath, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Jesus is our Sabbath rest. He's calling you to come to him. This is what he says. Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 28 through 29. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He is our Sabbath rest. So we don't observe the Sabbath. We enter into Sabbath rest for eternity through Jesus. Let's pray.